Welcome to the Drowning Fish Podcast. It has been a really long time since I've got on here and did a podcast, but I think it is time. I think the last one I did was back in February, and that one was, it was good, it was great, but there has been a lot of changes, obviously, in my life, so I've kind of wanted to experiment with new ideas and kind of dabble in some new things. So if you guys would want to hold on and enjoy the ride. So today we're going to be talking about the dangers of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I will inform you, I am not a human resource professional or in any way a professional in this subject. It is a subject that's in discussion in many workplaces, universities, and professional work environments. I am not here to change your point of view or to change your mind, but rather inform you on some of my opinions and some facts and some experiences that form beliefs. Please do not take this source and implement it into your life. I highly recommend you take control of your education and seek more knowledge and details to develop your own opinion. With that being said, before we get into this episode, a little bit about me. I am a son of two immigrants. I am first-generation American, and Spanish is my native language. Although I realize the shortcomings and faults of our country, the United States, I am 110% proud to be American. The opportunities and the chance to form your own life is beyond what I want. I am happy to live in a country where we can have such discussions without government control or fear of losing my life. I believe in freedom of speech, but I also believe in taking ownership of speech. Let's get started with the why, because I believe in life. You know, we have to ask ourselves before we dive into the subject, we have to ask ourselves, how did we get to this point and why am I speaking of it? And I can only speak from experiences because this is my podcast. This is an episode that we're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, the abbreviation DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's a pretty big subject right now going on, but I can only speak from experiences because I have recently sat through corporate and introduced diversity and inclusion seminars. And what it looked like for me, it looked like a company getting a hold of a variety of employees with different backgrounds and cultures and even nationalities. At the end of this meeting, I asked the facilitator how the brand had come up with the demographic and charts on how many white versus every other ethnic group was employed by the brand. And I won't lie, the numbers were higher for white males than any other. But what I really want to focus on is how the brand got the numbers, because that was really a point where I was scratching my head, you know, because I asked the question, how did you come up with the numbers, the demographic and the charts that you are presenting to us, the employees, about how many white versus every other nationality and even gender? And she said that whenever you apply for a job, you click on, an option. Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought. You click on an option and, you check what nationality or race you are. I'm not entirely 100% sure. I might be butchering this, but I have applied for several positions in the past, and I know this to be true. So whenever you apply, it asks you if what you know, if you're Hispanic, if you're white, if you're Caucasian. And even though the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, recommends avoiding asking these questions about nationality, race, color, sex, or age, because these personal characteristics are protected by law. So many companies have gotten their data on how many diverse people they hire and not hire. One can simply lie on their application. That was my main concern, is somebody could simply lie on their application. And this happens all the time. People lie on their resumes. People lie on their applications. People lie straight up in interviews because they only tell you what they want to what they want you to know. This so-called data could become skewed in the sense that a particularly potential employee or a student could simply put that they are from a different race just to be put on the top of the list, or if the diverse pool is filled up, the bottom of the list. So this is really what I want to talk about a little bit. You know, if a potential employee or even a student, because this is also introduced in universities, a lot of universities and even workplaces are introducing diversity, equity, and inclusion because they want to introduce more inclusivity in the workplace. And I understand that, more culture. I believe if companies wanted more diversity, equity, and inclusion, they would simply get rid of these questions during the application process. The interviewer should be a professional human resource trained person with unbiased and neutral stances on protected characteristics. And I am not downing diversity, equity, and inclusion, but I do believe in a sense that we need a diverse crowd. Because the United States, for example, is a melting pot full of humans from different backgrounds and cultures. Where companies are missing the point is that instead of focusing on how many non-white or diverse people they hire, let's start the conversation of hiring the right candidates. I know this is also a touchy subject because in the United States, segregation and civil rights are recently in our lifetime, in the past. So in our lifetime, if you're listening to this, you can remember, or not probably not remember segregation, you know, but you can read about in the past about segregation and civil rights movements and things like this. And we're going to touch on it a little bit here in a minute, but we can use history to project us into the future. And let's start out with the facts. Corporate companies and the government has implemented devastating laws and regulations in ethically and racially diverse regions by allowing crime, by reducing federal funding, state funding. What this brings is less than proficient teachers, so education takes a hit. With no federal funding or even state funding, the police force also takes a hit. So police force employees, they either don't give a damn or they just have biases. With that, allowing distrust in social climates with residents. In these geographical locations, low-paying jobs or entry-level jobs have also been implemented since education was not there. So the chance of having information introduced at a young developmental age is not available. And I want to talk a little bit about this because I'm from a region where education really isn't taken seriously. I'm somebody that ended up dropping out of college because I believed that college was just kind of a band-aid solution for where I wanted to be in my personal life and my career. But it does... It still does help in the current world where you want to be and where you want to go. So I'm not saying don't go to college, but I'm saying in a lot of low income places, education is not taken serious. And we also have to ask ourselves, what kind of education are we getting? You know, are we getting great education? Are we getting teachers that actually care? And this may seem like I'm saying money will fix the issue when we know it won't. Affirmative action, for example, was implemented in the 1960s and has been a standard for hiring practice and admission practices for American universities. Affirmative action is the active effort to improve employment, educational, and other opportunities for members of groups that have been subject to discrimination. Criteria for affirmative action includes race, disability, gender identity, sexual orientation, ethnic origin, and age. As of June 29th, 2003, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that race conscience affirmative action is unconstitutional. With this being said, you know, affirmative action was being implemented a lot into universities. It has been implemented a lot into work environments, and race conscience affirmative action, I believe 100%, is unconstitutional, because if you're race conscience all the time, that's a form of racism, you know. And I'm glad that the Supreme Court ruled that it is unconstitutional. This means that race will no longer be considered as a fact in college admission decisions, particularly to achieve the educational benefits of diversity. So we hear it all the time. You know, we hear about these Ivy League, especially recruiting or getting students with more cultural background. Let's see, where was I? I'm a little lost here. I'm reading a script. So if it's a script that I wrote and I've read and reread and reread multiple times. So if it seems like I'm getting lost here, it's because it's like 6 pages long. All right. Diversity, equity, and inclusion was introduced by corporate companies. And my opinion, it is basically a rebrand of affirmative action. So affirmative action was implemented by the government in the 1960s. Since it's become unconstitutional to be race conscious, especially in the universities. And now, you know, a lot of corporate companies are probably a little scared to say affirmative action in the workplace. They have to come up with a rebrand. And how do we rewrite something that is corporate? So diversity, equity, and inclusion is a perfect rebrand. If you Google what affirmative action versus DEI is, it basically tells you the same definition. The only difference it tells you is that DEI is not limited to remedial measures, but encompasses a holistic approach to inclusivity. DEI was created to make individuals feel valued, respected, or to feel that they have the equal access to opportunities, when in fact, most minorities do not. So, whenever I did a little bit of research on DEI, it was basically giving information that was saying that it makes candidates and potential employers feel that they are being implemented, you know, that they're being brought into, or that they feel included. That's the word I'm looking for, is that they feel included. When in reality, they're not, you know. If it's something that is, when it's real, it's real. And when it's not, it's not. It's not to make you feel anything. What a fact is, a feeling is not a fact. Sometimes emotional is not a fact. So we have to take that into consideration as well. And I want you to think about that as I continue with this. Anyhow, the government still to this day is keeping communities with minorities in the same living conditions. Today, there is a growing immense pain in all Americans that the cost of living is higher than ever. Inflation is at an all-time high, and Americans are not happy with how the country is being ran from the top. If we allow corporate companies to initiate the same standards the United States did in the 1960s, we will be in for a heaping surprise in our lifetime. So instead of corporate standards and regulations, let's implement education at a youth level. Let's rewire what leadership looks like from the inside out, and how this looks like is simple. If we are not learning together, we won't earn together. The truth is we live in a capitalistic society that is being ran by corporate conglomerates, and their main focus is how do we achieve high earnings while employing quote-unquote diverse individuals. We are simply allowing companies to become slave owners. If we implement DEI because they know that minorities will take a pay cut to be in a position they thought they could not have. So this is a big, I've also been reading a lot about companies introducing DEI and bringing in, you know, well, I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's the truth. a lot of minorities, you know, the brown people, black people, Asians, African Americans, you know, Indians, people from Indian descent, they're bringing them in at a much lower wage level because they know that they can get away with it. And I believe that's just a mind fuck, you know. That's just really, if you're not going to pay them the same, then it really can't be inclusive to all, you know. It's just basically, there's no accountability at a managerial level because you're allowing these things to happen. What else? Let's see. Kind of lost my train of thought here. All right, so the truth is we live in a capitalistic society that is ran by corporate conglomerates, and their main focus is how do we achieve high earnings while employing quote-unquote diverse individuals. We are simply allowing companies to become slave owners. If we implement DEI because we know that minorities will take a pay cut to be in a position they thought they could not have due to racial injustice at the hiring level. All right. This may seem a bit far-fetched, but we cannot allow history to repeat ourselves. Companies are introducing DEI because they know, based on analytical research, that the future is people of color and different backgrounds. They are getting ahead of the curve before it is too late. While I sat in a room full of people with different backgrounds, I asked myself, how would a white individual feel if he or she was in the room and they also wanted the opportunity to grow and shine in a career? And a facilitator is saying, quote, we have to do better and employ people from diverse backgrounds, unquote. Or close quote. I don't fucking know. Anyhow, the matter of the fact is most of these companies we work for are owned by BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. When I say owned, I mean they are the three largest institutional investors. What they want is not what we want. Maybe we are too far gone, but it's not too late to educate the public about the truths and spread awareness and opinions. I believe that diversity is fine. There's nothing wrong with being diverse, and because we're all different, you know, we're all diverse in our own ways. If we want to grow as a country and if we want to grow as a company, you know, when you're talking about if you want to grow your company, where we should really focus on is being united as a country, as Americans, as people. Maybe some nationalism, you know, being proud of American, being proud of the country that you are in and trying to grow the foundation of America. Bringing back American jobs, manufacturing, and inspiring the next generation to strive and prosper to make our country strong. Now, as I say this, I know that a lot of people are listening because I know that a lot of people are listening to the Drowning Fish podcast. I've shit on this country a lot in the past. We have our flaws and imperfections, but we must learn and grow. We have to. There is no other way. Corporate diversity is the death of democracy. And if we allow it to separate us, it'll drive us apart. You know, it'll drive us apart because they're telling us that we are so different from one another when in reality, we're the same, especially if we're employed by the same company. We're a melting pot full of humans with potential different backgrounds and cultures, and together we can make the most powerful country on earth. Right now, we are allowing political correctness culture to divide, target, harass, and isolate. We cannot allow ideologies, traditions, or philosophies to divide us apart. And I know there's a lot of people right now probably thinking, oh, dude, this guy has gotten red-pilled. How about we just take a step back and look at the fact that even I have gotten a little bit of brainwashed in the past, you know, with saying that, how come cultures are from different backgrounds? If you're like from a different background, your culture, or your, let's just say it like this. If you're not white and you're listening to this podcast, there has been a lot of pressure on white people to, how do I say this? There has been a lot of pressure for them to accept the fact that, you know, the country has a pretty bad history with racial inequality. And that's only because we allowed it. You know, humans have allowed racial inequality to happen. So I believe racism, and I don't just believe this. I know it for a fact because I've lived it from experiences. So I know that racism is a learned, I wouldn't say learned trait, but I would say it's a learned behavior. Racism is a learned behavior. And, you know, right now what we really have to do is kind of isolate the people that are racist, true racist. And I'm not saying about, you know, I'm not saying about start unfollowing the meme accounts and the comedians or whoever you might follow, or your drunk uncle at Thanksgiving. That guy's not a racist. I'm talking about people that really hold people from different backgrounds back because of white nationalism. And there's a difference between American nationalism and white nationalism. And there's also a difference between brown pride and black pride, you know, like Black Lives Matter. Unfortunately, it was an organizational movement, and a lot of those people benefited for their own profit. So, you know, we kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt, especially right now, because everything is a touchy subject and nobody wants to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. You know, I'm going to talk about it a little bit. So I want you to think about this. Right now, there are actual racists who have careers in a professional setting, like doctors, lawyers, or even in our political sector. These are biased humans, humans that cannot be changed because racism is a learned behavior. They have the power to change and alter someone's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And there is no vetting process to eliminate these individuals from the workforce. For me to say that eliminate these people from the workforce is, I'm not saying, you know, your cashier or your fucking drive-through guy. Like, I'm not saying those people, you know, because I don't think that really matters. You know, I'm going to be honest, they don't really make a big impact on society. I'm talking about the people in a professional set, like the professional sectors, you know, people that are doctors, lawyers, political sectors, people that actually take care of other human beings, and want to better society. I think there should be a vetting process for them. And I think they should be held to a higher standard as well, you know? Let's see, where was I? I believe racism, and this is going to sound crazy as fuck, but it's true. I believe racism, one, I don't know if it's a government agenda implemented idea or ideology, but I do believe that racism could either be used for good or for not good. So in the past, like I said, I'm speaking from experiences, and I can only speak from experiences. I can't speak for anybody else. I never had like a brick thrown through my fucking window, and I never saw, you know, the Klan sitting in front of my lawn. I'm just talking about racial slurs, you know, people treating me indifferent because of my skin. You know, that only pushes me to become a better human being and to become much better than them, because I know I am. Let's see. With that being said, I think racists still need a job because they can't just not be unemployed. But like I said earlier, I think if they are in a professional setting, like doctors, lawyers, you know, people that are in high need or their job is rather hard. I wouldn't even say hard. I would just say, like, dude, if you had to go to school for like 20 fucking years, and yeah, you should be held to a better standard, because that means that you are a professional. But they still, I mean, they're still around, you know, those people are still around, they're still racist, and that's fine. But I do believe in about how do we become a better society, and how do we vet these people out so that other people can take those jobs or be in those jobs, or even just or even just hold them to a standard to a point where they are open-minded and maybe change some of their feelings towards minorities. Job applications do not ask, are you racist? You know, they ask every other question in the book, but they don't ask, are you a racist individual? Because that's more of a moral and value. It's not a protected characteristic. You know, a protected characteristic is like your race, age, nationality. And it asks every single question. You know, the EEOC protects employees for that, but they don't protect employees. They don't protect if you're a racist, and you shouldn't. Because if you're a racist, you probably shouldn't, you know, you probably shouldn't voice your opinion out and out in the work environment or in universities or in other government sectors. But that being said, why does a job application ask what ethnic group you belong to? And I'll tell you why, because they need that data to keep scorecards and track of employment rates in diverse groups. Because they have to report to, let's say, BlackRock. You know, they have to report to these people, because then they know who to market to. You know, they know who to market to, and they know what they can pay you and what they can get away with. In my personal opinion, I believe diversity, equity, and inclusion is simply racist, just labeled differently. Again, to market it to us. You know, if affirmative action was introduced in the 60s, and then I know I keep repeating myself, you know, corporate companies are introducing diversity, equity, and inclusion and labeling it a little differently. It's used as an agenda to push for a better future, when in the long run, it's only holding us back. Texas recently passed a law on anti-DEI called SB 17. Some states are also looking into passing similar laws. For me to say this is good or bad is unknown, because this is a new law being implemented, and we have to allow time to pass and educate ourselves to grow on knowledge on certain subjects. We must not be the oppressors, but the revolutionaries. With that being said, DEI is being pushed in corporate settings, big money universities, but one place it is not being pushed is our judicial system. So this is also something that I kind of wanted to dabble in a little bit, because I have talked about the prison system in the past. It's funny how in corporate settings, settings that make money, and the prison system is a money fucking making machine. For me to sit here and tell you that it's not, it's a lie. It is, but it's not being, it's not, you know, told to us, but it is. The prison system makes a lot of money. Usually from taxpayers, sadly, but there is no diversity, equity, and inclusion. All right, I'm going to have to take a break because I have to restart my camera. So give me one quick second. All right, perfect. So there is no diversity, equity, and inclusion in our judicial system. California, a state that accepts DEI, a state with the highest incarceration cost per inmate, a median of a whopping $73,000 a year per year, data that is based on the State's Journal of Correctional Education. California in-state average tuition is $15,000, and out-of-state is about $45,000. And that's about a medium as well, average. So it costs less to go to school than to imprison someone in the state of California. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Most states with the highest incarceration rates per capita are southern states. We could take a step back and say that they are taking ownership and accountability and stomping out crime, but are they doing it in a way where, instead of incarceration and keeping someone out of the judicial system, where we know is flawed and is a vicious cycle, we can educate and hopefully mold into someone where they can go into the society and prosper? Most of the states with the highest incarceration rates are also the least educated states in America. And guess what? Those are the red states in the South. And that's not me shitting on Republican or, you know, shitting on Democrats, but it's the truth. You know, they both have their pros and cons. The system set in place needs to be revamped. How is unsure, but starting with accountability and speaking to one another is a start. DEI is the beginning of a system where if we don't take action now, it will only lead us into another prison system mentality, keeping certain individuals stuck due to lack of accountability in those systems, such as corporate settings or even universities. So the synopsis of this whole episode and this whole podcast is basically to take a step back, because there are several laws being implemented right now. And I'm not saying, you know, yay the Supreme Court or yay the Texas laws or whatever with SB 17. There are just things that are brewing, and I think a lot of this is going to hold us back in the future, because, you know, affirmative action was implemented in the 60s and nothing really happened. You know, it's just a law to make us feel like we're being included, or make society feel like we're actually doing something when we're not. Because at the end of the day, leaders and managerial people in job settings or even university settings are not being held accountable. And who holds them accountable is a great question. I believe it was University of Austin, Texas, you know. They are the ones that implemented huge, they were really striving for DEI. And I think they fired like 30-something people, something like that, something crazy. So the synopsis is, I think that diversity, equity, and inclusion is racist. I think it's being labeled differently. I think it's just a relabel of affirmative action, and it's a corporate agenda being pushed to make us feel like we're being included when we're really not. At the end of the day, like I said, I really want you to take some of this information, kind of do your own background, kind of do your own opinion and soul searching, or whatever you need to do. Do your own information digging and really just look into it, because a lot of companies are talking about diversity and inclusion and how do we hire people with different backgrounds. And the reason why they're doing that is because they know that the future is, and I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't know. You know, I'm just another human being with a microphone. I've always said this in the past. I'm just a human being with a microphone, trying to spread awareness or ideas or opinions. I don't know, man. This is a touchy subject, and a lot of people are kind of talking about this right now. A lot of people are really falling for the DEI agenda, and I think that is, I think it's dangerous. I think DEI is dangerous, and I think it's just a rebrand of affirmative action. You know, just last year, they did away with affirmative action. The Supreme Court called it not great. You know, they called this not great. So we're going to see where it goes. You know, I think they called it, what is it? Race conscience affirmative action is unconstitutional. And, you know, to a point, they're right. Because if the EEOC is supposed to protect these characteristics, and then it's being used to implement a hiring process or even a vetting process for universities, and to a certain point, it is racist. It's racist against every other people, every other even genders and nationalities, ethnic groups and stuff like that. I'm going to leave it at that. I want everybody to have a great day, and I'm going to be doing some more podcasts like this. If you have any feedback or opinions that you would like for me to look into, just give me a shout out, dude. Just let me know, bro. Like, send me a fax, man, and I'll look into it, dude. This is certainly different from the podcast or the episodes in the past, because, I don't necessarily take myself too serious, but I've been implementing new things into my life, and I want to take something a little bit more serious, you know? So, and especially this subject, because it is a touchy subject, and it is a subject that was brought into my life personally. And it was a subject that, you know, whenever something like this is being introduced in my life, I could only take a step back and say, how is this wrong? You know, how is this setting us back? So I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if it's going to set us back or not. This is just ideas and opinions and trying to rewrap history, because a lot of things, unfortunately, history repeats itself. And a lot of the times history repeats itself right in front of our eyes and we don't even see it because rebranding or just different types and different measures are implemented. But take your own information, do some digging and look around. If your work environment is implementing diverse equity and inclusion, God, I'm getting sick and tired of saying that, dude. If your work environment is implementing these ideas, I want you to take a step back and kind of take a look around and say, what are they doing here? You know, are they implementing this to give minorities a better chance, or are they only doing this because numbers? And if they're doing it for numbers, then that's bullshit. But if they're doing it to give people a chance, to give people with different backgrounds an actual chance, then it's great. But if it's being used for net numbers and to make a corporate company happy because, you know, they want to target and they want to market to us because we're just a number. And at the end of the day, the truth and reality is we really are just a number. But take a look around, open your fucking eyes, and do some digging yourself. I appreciate everyone for tuning in. Share this on your social platforms. I don't think I'll be the first one to tell you I don't think I'm right. I don't think I'm wrong, but it's a start. It's a start to a conversation that a lot of us need to start having, because, you know, if we don't, then who's going to have them? Thank you. Share this. Have a God blessed day.